that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh thee, 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 it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, no evil shall befall thee, no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. No evil shall befall thee, no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling.
He shall give his angels charge over thee,
all thy ways.
They shall bear thee up in their hands,
and thou dash thy foot against the stone. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. It shall not come nigh thee, 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 it shall not come nigh thee.
Well, hello, folks. Thank you for tuning in this day. We're already at the 13th of August. And, we're enjoying summer for a little bit longer here in Montana. So we have a lot of smoke in the air, as do many other states, I'm sure, from the fires here in this state, and fires coming over smoke from other states as well. A lot of burnings going on out there. All right, well, we're going to open up with some news this evening as we get into the program. Hope that you're ready to go here this evening. Impact Church of Jacksonville, Florida hosted a jab event or a vaccination event on Sunday, August 8th and more than 260 people received the jab. Wow, isn't that great for church news? I mean, is that what churches are supposed to be involved in doing? Yeah. Pastor George Davis said this is the second vaccine event, the first back in March, where 800 people received the jab. The pastor says, we've been encouraging people to get the vaccination. This pastor also said he believes it is a gift from God. Okay, well, this church also says they believe in healing. What are they doing? If God is a healer, isn't that a bit of strangeness going on there? I don't think the pastor's done his due diligence in checking out this vaccination. If he had, he would have probably not been doing what he's doing. Anyway, yeah. Well, some churches have people that get the COVID, and unfortunately, some people die because their immune systems are weak. They don't have any vitamin D in their system, like most Americans don't have enough vitamin D3 in their system, and that protects people from what Dr. Mercola says and others have said. That helps them not to get this. When their body immune system is strong, they don't eat a lot of white sugar or sugar at all, really. And their body's strong, and they don't get there. But anyway, that's another story. Pro-life billboard removed in Texas one day after the death threats were issued. It simply said, ignore Roe.com and 62 million dead and counting. But Christians are afraid, so they put it down. They took it down. Will Christians cave in to the threats of atheists and the left and liberals and Antifa and on and on? They're going to do that? Well, would Jesus do that? Yeah, ask questions. What would Jesus do in these situations? Would he bow to them? Would he bow to the devil and their threats of death? Jesus faced death more than once. They said they took him out, tried to stone him, and yeah, they wanted to kill him, and he didn't stop, did he? No, he didn't. Antifa attacked Christian worship event in Portland up on the waterfront. And the Christians said they were ruthless. Violent Antifa carrying shields and weapons attack and shut down the worship event with Pastor Arthur Pulaski from Canada, who received facial wounds as well. They destroyed equipment and maced the people and hit them. And police stood by and did nothing. Didn't do anything. And people went and clashed with the Proud Boys after this place. And again, the police didn't do anything. Wow. What a world we live in today. Last Saturday that happened. I tell you, that's a strange world, isn't it? Yeah, that allow this sort of thing to go on. When used to, the police would stop these things and wouldn't let this go on. But now I guess that they don't care. And they've been told to just stand down, don't do anything, by the liberals that run the city. Texas declares sex change surgery for a minor as child abuse. Would be considered a Class A misdemeanor. Well, it is child abuse, in my opinion. Yeah, to do that, the child, before they even know what's going on, really. But YouTube banned Rand Paul over anti-mask video. The senator calls his temporary removal from the giant internet video giant a badge of honor. Yeah, while Eminem's ex-wife, Kim Scott, tried to commit suicide and was found bleeding excessively in her bathroom, Eminem's adopted son, 19 years old, comes out as non-binary and says, call me Stevie, in TikTok announcement, as the family shows support for this Stevie, 19-year-old son. Non-binary, right? Okay, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. Illegal aliens overwhelm the southern border. Of course, many are sick with COVID and other diseases and just bringing them on in. One town down there says there's 7,000 illegals with COVID in their community right now. In July alone, 210,000 illegal aliens entered the U.S. along the southern border, often with the help of smugglers. So, yeah, our country's being overrun. That's just 1 month, by the way, 210,000 in 1 month coming in. Can we really take that much coming into this country? Louisiana's pro-vaccine sign is vandalized and covered with references to the mark of the beast. Yes, they're vandalizing the sign. Get that vaccine sign, huh? Well, stop talking about Jesus is what an actress, Letitia Wright, recalls being told when she was in Hollywood. They told her to stop talking about Jesus. Well, we can't stop talking about Jesus. The Bible tells us to talk about Jesus and to share about Jesus and salvation. So you can tell me, but I'm not going to stop talking about Jesus. He's my Lord, my Savior, my King. And he's the redeemer of mankind if they choose to accept it. What he did already is done, but not everybody's going to accept it. But still, if we don't talk about Jesus, then some people are going to miss out. Yeah, the Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. If there ever was a time in history we should be bold, I think now's a good time for it. We need to be bold and unashamed of Jesus. Amen? Amen. So Texas and Florida consider ending business relationship with Ben and Jerry's parent company over Israel boycott. They're calling Israel occupied Palestinian territory. Well, no, I think they haven't read their Bible. No, that's Israel territory. It's not occupied Palestinian territory. But anyway, yeah, that Ben and Jerry's a liberal group, and I don't buy that ice cream. But, yeah, anyway, it's loaded with sugar. I don't buy it anyway. I wouldn't, even if they weren't that. I'm going to eat ice cream. I try to eat dairy-free, low-sugar ice cream. And that's the only kind to eat. But, anyway, that's me. You do what you want, but I keep sugar intake down to a very small amount. You got to take care of these temples of the Holy Ghost, right? So that they can live a long and healthy life. And, of course, we claim the promises of the Word of God, too. With a long life, he will satisfy us and show us his salvation. You believe that? It's in the Word. We need to grab hold of the Word and believe the Word of God. Whatever it says for us, when we just receive it and walk in it. Amen? We're going to walk in God's Word today. Well, I hope you've been having a good day today. We have a days of attack this last week, 2 days that we dealt with the enemy and spiritual warfare with some things that, you know, the enemy sometimes just tried to hit you with something, and we rebuked them. We stood and fought for a while about it and didn't put up with it. You know, the enemy just determined to try to get in and attack his people. I mean, God's people, I'm sorry, God's people, because he hates us all. But we resist the devil, and he will flee, and we send this stuff back where it came from in Jesus' name. Amen. This is war. The enemy hates us, but we are going to prevail against the powers of darkness. Amen, because the Word of God says we can. We're going to get into this tonight here, but we're going to open up in prayer first. Hallelujah. Welcome to the program here this 13th day of August. Some people say, oh, it's Friday the 13th. No, I don't go there with that stuff. I have the blood of Jesus. That cancels the assignment of the enemy. I apply the blood against every assignment of the enemy, every lie of the devil in Jesus' name. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you that this is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And we will not walk in fear as so many do today, Father. that are in the church that ought to know better. They ought to know your word says, fear not, for I am with thee. Lord, we trust you, and we give no place to the devil. That means giving no place to the spirit of fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And we're just going to walk in that, Father, in Jesus' name for your glory. And we rebuke the enemy tonight. We cover the broadcast with the blood of Jesus. I pray for the listeners, Father, that you grant us all holy boldness, the listeners and myself, that we will walk in that holy boldness all the days of our life on earth and be unafraid, unashamed of the gospel, unafraid of those who threaten and criticize. And yes, persecution is coming and is already here to some degree, and it is increasing. But we stand, having done all, stand in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I thank you for the grace to keep standing and resisting and being bold in you, Father. Thank you for health in our body, Father. We rebuke those spirits of COVID off of every one of us. We don't receive those demons, those fallen beings that try to bring this stuff our way. We rebuke it. You're not bringing it our way. We don't receive it in Jesus' name. We cover our bodies with the blood. We speak life into these physical bodies, and we thank you that by your stripes we were healed, we are healed, and we walk in health and healing in the name of Jesus. For your glory, Father, that you be glorified. For you are our healer. You are the one who takes the best care of your children. You said no plague shall come nigh that dwelling, no evil. And Lord, we claim that right now for the listeners here. We thank you for that. I ask you to just bless them with that as they can stand and believe these things as well. Father, we thank you for ministering to them tonight, Father. And this message, we just thank you that the anointing of the Holy Spirit will release the power of these words, Father, into people's lives. And strongholds will be shattered and broken, and high things will be pulled down in Jesus' name. And we will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. In our lives, Father, we praise you that, you know, we've been chosen to live in this time like no other that we've ever heard of. And Lord, you called us to live now. So, Lord, we know that you have a plan and a purpose, and nothing catches you by surprise, Father. And so, Father, you've prepared a way for us to walk in, and you will keep us in that way of yours until the return of Jesus, as long as we choose to be there. And Lord, we will resist the devil and he will flee. And we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus, that we as priests of the Most High God handle that blood. And we love that blood, Father. And we know that blood is precious, precious blood of Jesus. We praise you for it tonight and ask you, Lord, to save every loved one that's not saved, Father. In your family that's listening, and my family as well, Father, Lord, turn things around with family members in Jesus' name for you. And we give you the glory for it. We give you the glory for working mightily, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for blessing the program now. Amen. Amen. Are you ready tonight? We're going to get into the Word of God. Amen. So we're talking about standing strong in perilous times. How many believe that we're living in perilous times? I believe we are. And I believe they're going to get more perilous before the return of Jesus. That's right. And we're seeing that prices are going up and groceries are getting ready to go up more and more, and shortages are coming. So get ready. If you can, get some things that are going to go short. Soon, if they haven't already.
shall turn away from the truth and turn unto fables. They shall be ever learning, yet never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. The hearts of men failing them for fear in the time of the end. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be...
All right, we're back. Sorry about that, but somehow my phone failed altogether. Had to get a different phone. Don't know what that was, but I rebuke you, devil, for doing that in Jesus' name. And bind you for it in the name of Jesus and send the angels against it. Stop that nonsense in Jesus' name. All right, here we go. Hallelujah. So, where was it talking about how the Christians are not always very angelic and they're not always angels, are they? Toward us or toward God. And we haven't been always very angelic toward God. And in fact, perhaps the times you yourself are not very loving and kind, and no, of course, none of us are like that, right? Well, consider God's man Noah, a weak man, righteous only by faith, who entered the blessings of the new post-flood life and proceeded to get drunk, get naked, and curse his own son. You remember the story? This was God's man Noah. Oh, no, of course, none of us have done anything, but yeah. Krishna once said, having examined the lives of Christians for many years, that Christians claim that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, but they show no more signs of being saved than anyone else. You ever thought that about Christians? What is a sign that we are saved anyway? Can you tell me? I mean, how can you tell a Christian from a non-Christian? Can you do that? Can you tell the difference? Christian, between a Christian and a non-Christian? How many times is it easy to tell that? Can you tell? You ever looked at Christian and said, really? That's a Christian? I wouldn't know that, huh? Yeah, I think we've all done that at times. Yeah, by the way they act. I mean, how can you tell a Christian from a non-Christian? Is it by their music? No, much of our music sounds just like the world's music, right? Yeah. Is it by our talk? Well, many Christians talk and cuss just like the world. Is it by our lifestyle? Well, many Christians live a lifestyle no different from the world's lifestyle, do they? They don't. I mean, you can't tell the difference in a lot of Christians. They worry. They're on mental drugs, they get in fear and anxiety, they go to the same events and act the same way as the world. Then the Bible says, come ye out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. Does the Bible say something about that? I talked to a Christian it was this week, that they were drunk when they called me up. How do you tell they're a Christian? You know, something also about in the Bible is also about that to be in the world but not of the world, right? Well, what's happened here? What's going on today? You know, there was once a period when Gandhi was spiritually restless and he began to attend the Christian church regularly. And he found that the sermons there were boring and the congregation not very devout or committed to Christ. And sometimes he slept in the service and he woke up feeling guilty. But then he noticed that several Christians were sleeping too, which eased his conscience as he looked around the room and thought, they're sleeping too. And worst of all, he was snubbed by the Europeans because of the color of his skin. And he left that church and abandoned his inquiry into the Christian faith for good. Well, obviously, the devil took him to the wrong church, obviously, because he didn't get any kind of you know, manifestation of Jesus there. So, you know, how many know you go to some churches and not see Jesus at all? Yeah, that's right. But can the world see more than a religious snob in you? I mean, this is what Jesus said would make the difference here in John 13. Let's go over there and read it. John 13:35. You know, probably some of you know the scripture I'm going to read, because it tells us how to know that we're Christians. John 13:35. It says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another." It didn't say one to the world. It said one to another. Hey, love one to another. Love not to the world necessarily only, but no, but toward one another. And the world needs to see the church loving each other, don't you think? Do they do that? No. Instead, we see a lot of infighting, a lot of fighting among one another, a lot of disagreement, not a lot of unity of the faith that God called us to walk in, a unity of the faith. But where is that unity of the faith? People arguing about whether it's tongues is of God or tongues is of the devil, the baptism of the Spirit, is that for today, or is that all pass away, miracle signs and wonders, did they pass away? No, they didn't pass away, but some people are teaching that and trying to convince others that they did. And we got all this ridiculous fighting about doctrine in the church, and people look at the church and say, well, who knows what they're talking about anyway? Yeah. See a lot of disagreement, a lot of stuff going on that the devil has instigated and continues to instigate, because we're at war, we're in spiritual conflict, and people fail to see that. Of course, the unbeliever, well, they don't know anything about that. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Wherefore, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. This is how we can live our lives. Whatever we do, eat, drink, whatever, do it all to the glory of God. And a lot is what you're doing. Can you do that to the glory of God? Huh? Maybe not, huh? Maybe you don't need to be doing it then. You ever think about that? Maybe there's some things you're doing that's not to the glory of God, but it's to the glory of the devil, and need to get out of agreement with that. You have to ask yourself some hard questions sometimes. Is your life all to the glory of God? What does that mean? It means a life of worship. To glorify God in our lives. We are to reflect God's glory, His love, His grace, and everything we do, including our eating. Uh-oh. Should we even talk about that? Our relationship. Yeah. We all have fallen short of walking the Jesus walk. But, hey, continue to worship Him. Don't quit. See, worship is not just what takes place at a church on Sunday morning. No, it's also what takes place in every place that God has us in life. Monday morning, then Tuesday morning, then Tuesday night, and in bed when we're sleeping at night. Hey, what's going on there, see? Are you dealing with, sexual dreams and attacks of the enemy? Or are you standing up and saying, no, devil, I rebuke you. You're not going to invade my dream. I'm not going to put up with that demon coming in here at nighttime, messing with my sleep. No, no, no. I'm not going to do it, devil. Just continue worshiping Him. See? Yeah, we've all fallen short, but hey, keep worshiping. Malachi, the book of Malachi, has something to say about how we are to love. How are we to love? Let's look at Malachi 2. Let's go over to Malachi 2. Oh, yeah, I know. Don't get yourself your feelings hurt about this, but hey, God has something to say to us here as well. Malachi 2, verse 1. And now, O ye priests, this commandment is for you. Who's the priest of the New Testament? That's right. The Bible says that we are kings and priests. Okay, so, you know, He has something to say to us through this too. He said, if you will not lay it to heart to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I'll even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessing. Jay, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your, and this is, of course, is under the old covenant, but still, there's something we can learn from it. Behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn many away from iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should speak the law or the word at his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way, and have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways and have been partial in the law. Okay, so God was telling these priests of the old covenant that they were guilty of living as though they didn't love God, nor were called by God to live a, you know, godly and priestly particular type of life. You think that God is only addressing pastors and elders and deacons, though? Well, I think again, because Jesus said each of us are priests under the new covenant. And I granted, we're not under the old covenant. We're not under the Levitical priesthood. Where Jesus came out of the tribe of Judah, which no priest had come out of previously. So it shows that he brought us a better covenant. But still, we can learn from this and look again at what he's saying to the priest. Number one, you don't listen to me. Have you not listened to God at times? Hey, we all have not listened to God at times. We just did what we want to do anyway. So we can learn that, hey, we need to listen to Jesus. We need to have our ears attentive to the Lord and what he's saying. Because he has something to say to you. He has something to say to me right now. In fact, God is speaking. It's just that a lot of Christians aren't listening. Or they're hearing some other thing that's not God at all. They're hearing the voice of a demon or something and saying it's God. I've heard that some people saying stuff recently that was off the wall stuff, and they're saying that God was saying it. And I said, no, that's not God. You're hearing the voice of a demon. And number two, he's saying, you haven't set your heart to honor me. Well, have we always honored God with our heart, with our actions, with our thoughts? No, we haven't. See, but he's saying we can, by the grace of God, we can do things that the Old Testament priests couldn't do because they didn't have the grace of God. And we have a better covenant. We could do things they could too. We could, because we're doing it by the Spirit of God in us. They didn't have the Spirit of God in them, see, because under the Old Covenant, the Holy Spirit would only come upon them and never came into them. But now that Jesus rose and died and rose, and the Spirit of God comes and lives in us, and he said he'll baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire, and that's what happens in our life. We got fire in us. We got the Holy Ghost in us, and we let that be stirred up and fill us to overflowing, and this can empower us to do things that, hey, they couldn't do under the old covenant. These priests failed because they didn't have the empowerment from within. We do. We have the empowerment from within, thank God. Number three, you have disregarded my covenant. Disregarded my covenant. Yeah. We've not always delighted in the covenant of grace, have we? We've taken it for granted, right? I mean, number four, you don't speak for me. Instead of bringing people to him, we sent them away by our own mouth. Yeah, we haven't always done things right. You ever failed to be a proper witness? I have. I failed and felt bad about it, and of course, asked the Lord to cleanse me from it and moved on. But and then next time we're gonna do better, right? We're gonna be a witness, a proper witness. But hey, the Bible says here that you've caused many to stumble. So our actions haven't always been pure. Two. And then number six, you are shoddy in obeying and applying my word. See, we water the word down and make it fit our lives and our agendas and our feelings, and on we could go. And yeah, so we can learn from him. Of course we can. And each of us have been called to the priesthood, though. Revelation 1:6, we're kings and priests. So, you know, are we living as such today? And I know apart from his grace, we can't, but are you drawing on his grace or are you ignoring his grace and his goodness towards you? Are you living in self and self-righteousness and for self and You know, every Christian is called to live as a prophet, priest, and king. That's right. Under the new covenant, we're all called to be prophet, priest, and king. Are you doing that? Are you living as such? Jesus said the least in the kingdom was greater than John the Baptist, or the greatest under the old covenant. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest under the old covenant. So how's a prophet, priest, and king? You know, how are they supposed to live? Well, number one, you're to exhort, to counsel, evangelize with the word dwelling richly in you. How does the word dwell in us? He dwells in us richly, the Bible says. We need to let that dwelling come forth in our lives and not let it be held back by our carnal nature and the things of the flesh. Hebrews 3:1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Did you know you're a partaker of the heavenly calling? You're a holy brethren, holy sister. Consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Let's consider Jesus, folks. Consider Jesus. Consider who we are. Remember who you are. Yeah, consider that. Go to Colossians 3:16. Let's read another one real quick on this. Colossians 3:16 says here, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We got grace in our hearts. Let's sing with that grace. It's there, but let's sing with the grace. Let's not sing with the law. He didn't say sing with law in your heart. So, yeah, as a prophet, we must sing. We must speak. You say, well, I'm the shy type. Well, I say, give me the chapter and verse. Yeah, give me the chapter and verse. You're the shy type. You're the fearful type. Give me the chapter and verse. Not there. See? The righteous are bold as a lion. And number two, as a priest, you have to serve the Lord, right? To serve the Lord God. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. See, we're a king, but we're not the King of Kings. Jesus is the King of Kings, and you have access to the presence of God. You have the responsibility of offering spiritual sacrifices and deeds of mercy unto God. Hallelujah. Right? Remember the fruit of our lips? What? Let's go to Hebrews 13. 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. How many times have you entertained angels? You ever think about that? Yeah, I know I have. And so you may have too. 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. How often? Once in a great while? Only at church? Is that what it says? No, it says praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Give me thanks to his name. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, just thank him. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So, see, how do we do good? We do good by the good in us. What's the good in us? The Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of the flesh. We don't want to exalt the fruit of the flesh because, yeah, we're real good at that, but many times we don't know much about the fruit of the Spirit. See? And that's the only good in us. The only good in us is God. There's none good but God, the Bible says. And three, as a king, you have authority over the world. And in the earth, God gave us authority over the flesh and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil, those are the three enemies of every person on the face of the earth. Are we using our authority today? Are we walking in our authority? How much of it are we walking in? Because we have way more than we think we do. Every one of us says that. We can walk in way more than we are walking in right now. It's more. See, for whatsoever is born of God, 1 John 5:4, overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, under the new covenant, it's not works that overcome the world, it's faith. See, we walk, the just shall walk by faith. This is how we overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil, if we walk by faith. We fight the good fight of faith. We resist the enemy. We bold as a lion. We declare the kingdom of God. See, the world, the flesh, and the devil, I mean, we all have supernatural and God-given weapons to demolish strongholds and obstacles to the kingdom of God. But, and there's obstacles every day that we see around us. We have obstacles rise up in our life, but we have the authority to demolish those obstacles in Jesus' name with the power of the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal but mighty through God that are pulling down a stronghold, right? That's what it says in the Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God tonight? I believe the Word of God. So you must take charge. You must take dominion. You must take charge over the powers of the enemy. Yeah. You must speak. You must serve by the grace of God, because you can't do it on your own. That would be works. And we don't live by work. We live in faith, right? We live by faith. And you must take charge to walk in your divine calling. See, you have a divine calling. You know that, right? You say, well, I don't know what I'm here for. I don't have any idea. Well, then seek God till you do. You know, or sometimes he'll just walk you into him, and you're walking in it. You just find yourself walking in the things of God. You didn't have to seek him for it. He already has you doing it. He already has you walking in the things that he has for you. So don't let the enemy, you know, deceive you, get you off track, see, and make you worried about whether you're even doing what God wants or not. But see, the steps of a righteous man, the Bible says they're ordered or directed by the Lord. See? So in response to God's rebuke to the priest of the Old Testament, we, number one, can learn to listen to God as he speaks in his word and in other ways through the still small voice in us, that we can listen to God when he's speaking to us. Have you ever heard God speaking to you? I've heard God speak audibly twice to me in my life, but I also heard him many times in my spirit, because that's where he dwells. So we should learn to be spiritually sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. See, we need to, number two, set our hearts to honor him through loving him and other people boldly without fear of doing it, right? And number three, have the highest regard for the covenant of God, the new covenant. Hey, I highly regard grace. I thank God for grace. I wouldn't want to live under the old covenant. I would not want to go back and have to live under that work covenant. Because you always have a sense of condemnation, because the Bible says that the law is a ministration of death, not a ministration of life, right? Hallelujah. So what are we going to do? We're going to thank God for the new covenant. We're going to thank God for the covenant relationship that we have. And number four, we're going to speak boldly from him by sharing the good news. See, he's in us, so we can speak boldly. He's empowering us. See, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. There's a strengthening going on when we start speaking by faith, see. See, but if you don't ever speak out, then the faith is not activated, see. When you speak out, faith is activated and strength comes. You don't get the strength before you speak. I'll do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. As we step out doing those things or speaking those things, then the strength is empowered as we make that step of faith, see. So number five, not cause people to stumble by our actions, to live godly, right? Those who are Christians should live godly in Christ Jesus, right? And of course, we're not able to do that except by his Spirit. And also know that we sometimes do fail, and sometimes we are not as godly as we'd like to be, and the flesh tries to take up a stand in our lives, and we just have to rebuke that flesh, crucify it, and move on, see? And steady, number six, steady and faithfully apply the word of God. Apply it in your life. Apply it around your life. Apply it in everything you're doing. Apply God's word. See, you have the power as a priest to speak it out there and put it to work, the word of God, see, in faith. We have the power to be speaking life out there, speaking word out there, all around us and into us. And that's what our mighty weapon, the mouth that God gave us. The mouth can speak blessing or it can speak cursing. We have a choice what we use our mouth for. But, hey, let's speak blessing. Let's speak words. Let's speak life. Let's speak victory. Let's speak out of our dominion. See, all this we are and to be and become by the grace of God from his mercy and grace as we walk by faith and as we by faith receive his empowerment to be what the Holy Spirit has called each one of us to be. See, he's called each of us to walk in a way, his way. See, and we have the empowerment of the Spirit, but we need to draw upon that empowerment today. So will you answer the Christian call today to walk as a priest and prophet and a king? Who's going to answer? Right? Will you? Also remember the scripture where the word of a king is. The Bible said where the word of a king is, there is power. That's a powerful scripture. You recognize where the word of a king, you're a king. Where your word is, if you're speaking in alignment with the word, you're speaking out the word, there's power being released. See? And so we should be walking in kingly power today. The enemy should fear you, not you fear the devils all the time. Some people just live in a perpetual state of fear because they've given place to the devils, feared devils for too long. Yeah. Oh, look what that president is doing. Look what that leftist is doing. Look at these evil people killing all these babies and doing this perversion. We're not going to make it. We're never going to make it. No, no. Look at Jesus. Amen. Keep your eyes on Jesus. What is Jesus doing? We overcome by blood and his words in us. The word of our testimony is his words in us. Amen. We overcome. We keep our eyes on Jesus. We don't keep our eyes. We're not told to keep our eyes on the world. We're not told to keep our eyes on Biden up there. No, we're told to keep our eyes on Jesus. We look and focus so much on the devil's work. No wonder you're walking around in fear and anxiety and stress. You're focusing on the devil's work when we should be focused on God's work and his word. See? But what is Jesus doing now? Yeah, do you even see what Jesus is doing now? Are you even looking? Or are you too busy looking at all the bad stuff going on, see? But Jesus is not being silent. You think he's not doing anything? Oh, my, my. The one who has the last word is going to have the last word and has the last word now. He's not remaining silent. He's busy. Oh, yeah. Things are going on. He's got his angels working. Stuff is happening. Yeah, we need to be sensitive to that. Yeah, we see what the devil's doing, but how many see what Jesus is doing? Open our eyes, Lord, to see Jesus. We ought to be praying that. Open our eyes, Lord, to see Jesus in our life, to be spiritually discerning of the things of God, not just the things of the devil. Some of us see the things of the devil so easily, but we fail to see the things of God. What's wrong with that picture, my friend? What's wrong with that picture? Jesus didn't tell us to just dwell on the things of the devil. Now, we're not ignorant of the devil's devices because the Bible said don't be ignorant of the devil's devices, but he didn't say give all your attention to the devil. He didn't do that. No, 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 he didn't. Now, we are called to live above the snake line, the fear line. You know, you climb up so high in the mountain and there are no more snakes. And there is a place where you don't live in any more fear. The Bible said perfect love casts out fear. So you don't have to live in fear. But see, have you ever felt unacceptable to God? See, that's a place of fear when you're feeling unacceptable to God. Maybe when you're going through severe problems, you felt you must have offended God or done something horrible to suffer so. I've known several women who've lost their sons. One of them, you know, the last I heard, she's an alcoholic to this day because she's mad at God. You took my son. You killed my son. No, the devil killed his son. God didn't have anything to do with it. Her son was not right with God. And something happened. And others, you know, they don't understand it. And they're wondering why it happened and how. And it's hard for them to get through it. And it's difficult when a person loses their son or their daughter. You know, and the enemy gives you all kind of thoughts about it. And you start, you know, wondering, well, where is God, you know? But no, severe problem. You might have felt offended, or that you offended God or done something horrible to suffer so. Or perhaps you think that God has forgotten you. A lot of Christians think that. These two are fear-based thoughts. See, when you're in fear, you have a lot of fear-based thoughts, and the fear-based thoughts control your life. We don't want to be controlled by anything but Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We yield control to him, not to fear. That's a demon. Why would we yield our control to fear? The Bible tells us over and over, fear not, fear not. For the Lord thy God is with thee. What are we fearing for? What are we afraid? Like the people that put that sign up against abortion, and they got death threats, and they took it down the day after the day that they got those death threats. I took up, you know, one of those big road signs by the highway in Texas. I took it down. If we bow to fear every time that demon comes along, what are we doing? We've got another God before God Almighty. We've got the fear God. We've made a God out of that demon of fear. We're bowing to it every time it comes and raises its ugly head and manifests. We can't make it. Oh, what's going to happen? We got to bow to this thing. See? My, my, my. Listen, there is a scriptural antidote for this kind of fear. There's too many fear-based thoughts. the fear of unacceptance. I mean, that's another one. But there are scriptural antidotes for these fear spirits, right? And you know that, okay? One good one is to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. Look, that's Ephesians 1:6, and we have been made accepted in the beloved. See, Satan will attempt to get you to focus on how unacceptable you are. Therefore, you must be unacceptable to God. You're unworthy, and truly, if you're unacceptable, then God has forgotten or abandoned you, and then you have fear that you're going to hell. You have fear that, you know, hey, the enemies try to get us to dwell on the many mistakes that we've all made and are still making in some cases, right? He tells us, surely God is displeased with you, and he doesn't love you much because look all you've done wrong. Look at all this stuff in your life today. Look at you doing the same old mistake again and again. Look at your same old temper you have, the same old lust habit, you know, the same overeating and same this or that, same old. Yeah, see, that's what the devil tells you. The enemy's a liar, but he tries to get you to dwell on this stuff. Yeah. Yeah, he tells us, surely God is displeased with you and he doesn't love you. See, because look at all that you've done wrong. Let me define the kind of love that Satan and his forces are portraying to you. It is a conditional love, a performance-based love. That's not a Bible love. That's not agape love. That's the world type of love. Now, you do this, and you'll be this, and this will happen to you. If you don't do it, then you're just damned. You're just cursed. You're just this. Yeah, that's the devil's kind of love, see. That's just a lie, though, see. It's the world kind of love. God's love for you, unconditional love, because the condition for loving you has already been met. Yeah, all the conditions for loving you has already been met on the cross, see? Yeah, remember, demons and devils don't even understand perfect love. They've forgotten that perfect love because they're living in darkness for so long now, separated from it, right? Oh, yeah. So, his love, perfect, pure, consistent, divine, supernatural, and unfailing. That's what it is. He loves you with that kind of love, whether you're worthy of that love or not. He's not talking about whether you're worthy or not. He made you worthy when you received the blood of Jesus and the cleansing of your sin and the receiving of salvation. See, you can't win his love by what you do or you don't do. You can't earn his love. For God so loved the world that he gave, see, he gave it before you could even ever do anything, see. Did you know that God's not surprised by anything you do? Did you know that? He's not surprised. You can't surprise God. Oh, you did something horrible today. I know I surprised him. How could I do anything like that? No, he did surprise God. Well, he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He sees all. He knows all. Well, how could she do such a thing? I'll have to rethink whether I love her or not. Maybe I should just jerk her salvation out right from under her. Like a rug, you know, jerk a rug out from under her. Oh, she's such a dog. See, God's not saying that. Oh, he's such a failure. No, God's not saying that. That's a demon talk. God tried to tell you that stuff, and that's a lie. See, that's the thing. Christians believe lie about themselves, and they get themselves in the devil's territory when they go and believe in a lie. See, that just opens you to the devil's territory. Well, I don't want to live in the devil's territory. Did you? I sure don't. I've been in the devil's territory before I was a Christian, and I've gone in as a Christian, too. And, hey, it wasn't pleasant. I don't want to go there anymore, okay? And if you think this way at all, see, you've been listening to the devil and demons. That's right. See, where does sin still have a stronghold in your life today? Well, wherever that is, then you need to apply God's word. You need to apply God's word. If there's a place where the devil has a stronghold, you need to start applying the word of God to that area. Amen. By faith. By Romans 5:20. Hallelujah. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Remember that. See, grace does much more abound than sin. In that area of your life, when you apply God's word on the new covenant, grace much more abounds than that sin in your life. And see, you've been letting that sin tear you up. You've been letting that sin beat you down. You say, well, that sin must be more powerful than God then, right? No, he said, well, grace is, hey, grace, you know, you apply that grace to that, it does much more abound than that sin. But you're letting that sin abound, see, with your mentality. You got to quit that because you're letting that sin abound when you should be letting grace abound in your life. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Verse 11. Let's read that too. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Have you received the atonement? I've received the atonement. So I rejoice in that. But what about that sin? What about that failure? What about this? What about that? What about that? Well, that's the devil's mouth. So shut up, devil, in Jesus' name. I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to Jesus. What is his word saying to me? I heard his word. We have received the atonement. We've received the atonement. We've received it for sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. So, hey, let's get up. Let's wake up to this now. But no, this is why Scripture tells us to awake to righteousness. Too many are only awake to sin. See, that's why we have to be told to wake up to righteousness, because fear is reigning in their lives because they haven't awakened to the true realities of the kingdom of God. That are greater than the lies of a devil. So, well, will I still sin? Yeah, but it's not reigning in your life. Righteousness is reigning. You no longer serve sin. Look at Romans 6, 11, and 12. You're not a servant of sin. Likewise, reckon you yourself also to be dead indeed unto sin. See, I'm dead to sin, but I'm alive unto God through Jesus Christ. You're dead to sin, but you're alive. You reckon that so. You've got to call that so. You've got to call that your reality. You got to reckon it so, because that's what the word says is so. This is the truth. The lie is, well, you sin. Look at this. Look at that. You're not righteous. You're not reigning in righteousness. You're not reigning over sin. Sin's reigning over you. Look what you've done. Look at your nasty mouth. Look at the things you said. Look at the things you did. See, the devil's always there to tell you that garbage. He said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You go back under the law, sin goes back and takes that dominion over again over your life, and you're under administration of death again, and it's going to have a dominion in your life. You go back under fear, you're going into the place of the enemy's territory where sin again has the dominion in your life. See, because the Bible tells you over and over, sin, fear not, fear not, fear not, right? So what are you doing, fearing? What are you doing? You're giving place to the enemy. You're giving place to the enemy, and the enemy's taking advantage of your situation. But you're under grace, not the law of sin and death. No, we've been liberated from the law of sin and death. So we don't have to come into submission to that law unless you choose to. You start believing in fear, you're going to submit to that law. See, let me share a truth with you. See, too many Christians see Christianity as a particular type of behavior. See? You're a Christian, so you don't drink, you don't cuss, you don't run around with those that do, and you don't chase women or men, whatever. Wrong. That's not true. Law-keeping and performance-based Christianity, not grace. That's not grace, see? That's what this is. Yeah? It's not love. It's not truth. Some Christians spend their whole life, looking for sin in their lives and want to know every one of God's commandments in every area of life so they can try to keep every one of them. They can't do that. These laws or commands hang heavy over them, heavy, heavy over the head. See, these are the things I must, do or try to do. I must do this for God, surely. He expects this out of me. See, that's the wrong focus. Focus, see, you're living from the law and from fear, not from grace and love and truth. See, we don't live for God anyway. We live from God. We're living from his anointing in us. We're living from the Holy Spirit within us. We're living from grace in us. See, we're living from love. We're living from truth. We're not living for love. We're not living for truth. We're living from it. See, living from it empowers us because, see, we can't do anything without him. So if we're living for God, that means we're doing it. If we're living from God, that means he's doing it. See, that is a greater empowerment for those who live from than those who live for. You see that? There's a greater empowerment than those who are living from, not from those who are living for. That doesn't work. See? It fails every time. See, when you try to go that way, you might do a few good things. You might try to look real good for a while, but see, you're going to ultimately fail because you don't have the power on your own. You got to have the power of God. You got to have the power of grace in you. Let God arise, and what happens? His enemies are scattered. You let the law arise, then you're going to go back under the ministration of death, and it's going to mess you up. You're going to open a door for the enemy to minister condemnation to you, right? And that's what he does. He's loaded with it, and he'll dump it on you anytime you receive it, because he's got a garbage can full of it for you, a garbage pail full of it, yeah? And then got tons of it, yeah? Oh, yeah. But see, you're living from law and fear. You don't want to live from law and fear. We want to live from grace. Amen? Listen, the one word, performance and law-keeping, will never say is enough, right? If you go under performance and law-keeping, you'll never hear him say, that's enough now. You've done enough to please God, and he's pleased with you now. See, that's why this kind of Christian is never satisfied, never truly happy. They don't have the joy of the Lord as their strength because they're trying to fulfill something that's unfulfillable. And then they don't have a sense of contentment in the Lord's arms of love. See, I just rest in the arms of love. I just come boldly before the throne of grace in my time of need. He'll just pour out his mercy and grace on me. He'll just empower me. See, but see, you got to go to him, and you got to go the right way. You can't go through the law. You got to go through grace. You got to go through Jesus. See, trying to gain position or security through behavior never works. See, that's the demon arena. You enter into the arena of devils when you're trying to get it that way. Fear will still have a place in this type of Christian. You'll be dominated by fear. No matter how good you are or how much you do, it'll never be enough. See, when you live that way, yeah, it'll never be enough. Because how much, you know, is enough? Well, it's never enough because it's never filled. It never fulfilled because it can never be righteousness enough, because it says that all our righteousness is filthy rags. It's not enough. It never will be enough. Only through Jesus and faith in the finished work of the cross and faith in the Lord Jesus, confessing him as your Lord and Savior and the blood of Jesus, applying that's what does it. See? It's grace, man. It's grace, sister. That's right. Too many, when they read the Bible, all... And see all that they're doing wrong and all that they should change and all that they should be doing. That's all they see when they read the Bible. That's wrong. What should we see foremost when we read the Word of God? Not what all we're doing wrong and feeling worse about us. No, we should get to know Jesus. We should be seeing Jesus better. We should be seeing a better covenant that we're under today. We should be seeing, you know, the righteousness of God that we have in Christ Jesus, the who we are right now, see? Not, oh, man, all I do is get feeling bad and bad. Now, yeah, the Lord will chasten us and correct us in time with the Word of God. The Word of God is profitable for instruction, for correction, right? And, yeah, so he will correct us through the Word of God, and at times we will get convicted, but he would never condemn us through the Word. No, the Word of God is not for condemnation. It's for conviction. It's for instruction in righteousness. See, it's for correction in righteousness as well, see, but not to beat you up and beat you down. That's what the devil does. He's real good at that, you know, and you try to mistake, you know, the devil's work for God. Is that what you're going to do? You're going to blame the devil for what God's doing, really? But a lot of people are doing that, see. They're blaming God for what the devil's doing. I'm sorry, did I get that backwards? But, yeah, they're blaming God for what the devil's doing. And really, you should be doing that. You got to recognize that. You got to know the Word enough to know what God and what the devil. Oh, yeah. See, the more you know him, the less wrong you will be having in your life. See, the more you know him, the more he'll manifest in your life. The more you yield to him, your vessel, and Jesus will live through you, and you'll manifest the fruit of the Spirit. See, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith. This is not our fruit. See, and we shall know a Christian, another Christian, by the fruit of the Spirit. We'll know him. We'll know them by the fruit. What is their fruit? Their fruit is not nothing, but it's the fruit of the Spirit, see? Their fruit, the fruit that they're manifesting. Is it the fruit of the Spirit or the fruit of the flesh? Are they manifesting the fruit of the Spirit of God, a manifested saved life, or are they manifesting, you know, the fruit of darkness? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, we have a measure of fear, any measure, when we're living in this way. We read the Bible, we see faults and failures. We see lack of measuring up to his standard. When there is no fear of judgment, then we see Jesus. See? And that's what the Bible says. Perfect love casteth out fear, for there is no fear of judgment there. See? Yeah, that's what it says in 1 John. So we yield more to him and his lordship so that grace and truth and love can fill us and overwhelm us and come forth out of us so that he can live through us. See, that's where we manifest Jesus. In fact, the Bible tells us that the only way to get out of grace is by this law-keeping and this performance-based Christianity. That's right. That's the only way to get out. Look at Galatians 5. We'll go over there and read it. Galatians 5. So read verse 4. Galatians 5, 4 through 6. It says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. See, that's it. The Christian life is faith working by love. And it works by who's love? It's working by God. God is the author and finisher of our faith. See, so faith worketh by love. God is the author and finisher of it. And we are manifesting that when we let him live through us. See? Oh, yeah, but the world, that's what the world thinks that we are, behavior-based Christian. That's what they do, and they base us on our behavior. You mess up, then they judge you on that. See, they say all Christians are hypocrites and all this garbage. They don't know that you're a work in progress, that God's grace is working in you. They don't understand that because the carnal mind doesn't understand the things of God. And they have a carnal mind because they're not regenerated. They don't have a spiritual mind. A lot of Christians don't even draw from a spiritual mind. I don't know that. Yeah, but the world definitely doesn't have a spiritual mind. Yeah. And that behavior-based Christianity always has fear because they're afraid they're not pleasing God and they're afraid of everything else, too. They're even afraid of their own shadow, some of them, because, you know, when you're not living in the grace of God to the degree that you can by faith, then different things bother you so much. See, anxiety and stress and nervousness and tension and fear, these demons, they get in their way with so many Christians today. They're looking at society, they're looking at the works of the devil. They was looking at all the stuff going on, the perilous times that we're living in. And indeed, we're in perilous times. But Jesus said that was coming. But he also said he's going to take care of us through those perilous times. He didn't say that. He said he'd never leave us or forsake us. He didn't say he was going to leave us. He said he would never leave us or forsake us. Amen? So if there's anything we should be known for at all, what is it? It's our love. Amen. And he is love, and he loves you, and he loves me, and we should love one another. So let him live his love, his essence, his character through you. You know, just like when you have a demon, they're living out their essence, their character, what their nature is. If the nature is lust, they're living lust through you. That's what demons do, see? But if we have Jesus, the Holy Spirit in us, God is love, then God will live love through you if you'll let him manifest. See, a lot of Christians don't let him manifest. They just keep him stuffed down in their spirit where they're born again. But their mind is full of the lust of the flesh. Their mind is full of sinfulness. It's full of stuff that, you know, that they're dwelling on, that the devil's been planted in their mind because they're not casting down the vain imaginations, the high things that exalted themselves against Christ. They're not dealing with those things. They're not casting devils out, and they're letting devils they're entertaining devils, right? That's what a lot of Christians are doing today. So they're manifesting the devil because the devils live out their life. They live out their nature through a human being. That's why, you know, they hate it when they get sent to the dry places to wander because they don't have a body and they want a body to get in so they can manifest who they are and what they are. You know, they want to manifest perversion. If it's a demon of perversion, they need a body to do it through. If it's a demon of masturbation, they need a body to masturbate through, to manifest themselves. If they're a lying demon, they need somebody that they can lie through their mouth so they can control their mouth and lie through them. See, that's what demons do. They want to manifest. Well, God wants to manifest who he is through us too, see? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So, behavior-based Christianity, we don't want that. In the Bible, you know, his disciples, not by their works, but by their love, right? So that's what the word says. If there's anything we should be known for, right, it's our love, and he is love. Okay, so let's let him love. Let's look at Ephesians 3:17. Moving on here. 3:17. Ephesians. Hallelujah. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye have been rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, how does that happen? When you allow Christ to dwell in your heart by faith, that you get rooted and grounded in love, then you will be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes the knowledge, it passes understanding, but only you get the revelation of that. You only get that fullness of God when you let him dwell in your heart by faith, and that you get rooted and grounded in love. See, so many Christians are rooted and grounded in fear, fearfulness, fear that God's going to strike them down, fear that they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, they're going to hell, the fear that they lost their salvation, all these different fears. So they don't know the love of God. They don't know it because they're not rooted and grounded in love. And they don't get on to these greater things about that he says here, to be able to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of God. See? Because they're not letting Christ dwell in their heart by faith. They're not being rooted and grounded in love. So these things are not their reality, their spiritual reality. See, it says be rooted and grounded in love. Not works. It doesn't say be rooted and grounded in the law. It doesn't say be rooted and grounded in work. No, it says be rooted and grounded in love. And so when you're rooted and grounded in love, not law, not work, then you really are rooted and grounded, and nothing can move you, right? Nothing can move you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, because you're rooted and grounded in it. So fear can't get a foothold in your love. In love, because perfect love casts out fear. When you allow yourself to be rooted and grounded in love, then that perfect love casts out that fear. That rejects the fear when it comes, because you know that's from the enemy. You recognize it for what it is. You know, it's a whole different type of thing than the love that you're dwelling in, that you're rooted and grounded in, see? And you recognize it's a demon. Fear can't get a foothold in love. It can't dig a root of fear because you're already rooted in love. Isn't that powerful, see? Love is a true protector from picking up more demons, see? His love. Man, I can't tell you how powerful that is. See, you're fully accepted and beloved on the basis of love, not on the basis of your faults, your failures, or your lack of faults, or your lack of failures. No, your faith, it came by grace, love, right? You're not accepted because of your good works, but because of grace and love and truth. See, if you begin to think and live this way, fear will not get a foothold. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear has judgment. We don't have judgment. We've already been judged in Christ, see? Oh, hallelujah. See, meditate and dwell on his love for you. Not your mistakes, not your problems, your failures. That's what too many Christians are dwelling on today. That love will sustain you and take you through any problem you ever face, see? You're ever faced, because love, within that love, is the power of God, see? And how we know God is love, and again, God is all power, all glory, all might, all dominion. And we have that might and dominion. He gave it to us. He gave us dominion in the earth. See, he gave us authority in the earth over the creeping things, that serpent, that snake, and everything else. He gave us dominion, but not every Christian knows how to use dominion or even understand it. But see, it's a grace is where you find the knowledge. In grace is where you find the knowledge of your dominion. See? You don't find it in law, because, see, they didn't have that full dominion under the law. They were under works righteousness, and that was a terrible taskmaster, actually. It was administration of death, the Bible says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. See? So, hallelujah. Meditate and dwell on his love for you, not on your mistakes and your problems and your failures, which is what most Christians do. They meditate on their failures, their sins, their problems, their failures. See, we all make mistakes, see, but what are you doing when you make a mistake? Does it get to you? Does the enemy beat you with it, and like a big rabbit, and just beat on you with that mistake, and it's like a whip, keeps whipping you with it, and you're feeling guilty all the time because, well, I failed. I did this wrong. I said this. I did that. See, the love of God will sustain you, but see, you start dwelling on your faults and failures and problems and sin, yeah, then you're going to be beat up. You need to learn and practice focusing on that magnificent love of God continually for you. Love is the place above the fear line. Love is above the snake line. You dwell in love. You go up above the snake line where the snake doesn't dominate. He might try to wiggle his weasel his way up in there and try to attack you. But hey, We need to live above the snake dominance in our life. Because we're not under the dominion of Satan. We're under the dominion of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need to recognize where we are now, not where we used to be. Don't live in a used-to-be life. Live in the present-day life. See? Start serving and quit grouping. A lot of Christians are grouping today. Yeah? You know? God's going to take each person who's serious about Jesus and really loves him to the end of their own strength eventually, because, so that they could trust in his strength totally. See, in the Bible, the wilderness was the place of testing, yeah, but it was also a location where people discovered the sufficiency of God, and they began to depend upon him, many of them, but not all, see, because they wandered around out there and died off because they didn't believe him. But see, that's another whole story. But let's go over to Isaiah 40 here. Isaiah 40, verse 4. And we see here, hallelujah, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Reading on here, the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. See, that's why we've got to abide in the word of the Lord. If we abide in the word of the Lord, so, and that's Jesus, right? Jesus is the word. And so if we abide in the word of the Lord, we're going to abide forever too in him, but we're not going to abide forever as a flesh. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God. But in Jesus, we inherit the kingdom of God, our spirit, because God is a spirit, and he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Therefore, spiritually, we are one with him. Therefore, we abide with him forever, and we don't fade away as the grass does. Our body will, but not our spirit. Our spirit lives forever. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our spirit is with the Lord. Being as hard and as difficult as the wilderness is, it still was the place where, number one, the living water gushed out of the rock, which is a type of Christ. See, they saw the type of Christ even back under the old covenant. They saw that's Jesus. See, and Moses got trouble because he struck the rock twice, and the rock represents Jesus. You can only strike Jesus once. You can't get no more salvation than what you can get the one time from the cross. See, if you don't, you go back and go back to the world, you put him to an open shame, just like Moses struck the rock twice, and there's no more offering for your sin, right? So as hard and as difficult as the wilderness was, what, living water came? Number two, manna arrived from heaven daily. Wow, a heavenly manna just whooping out of heaven. Wow, you ate angel food. The Bible called it angel food. So I guess angels either created the food or they eat it too. I don't know. But anyway, the Bible does call it angel food. And God appeared daily in a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I mean, look at that. God is there in the wilderness. If you're in the wilderness today even, God is there. In the wilderness, David learned to kill the lion and the bear, the type of the devils, right? Devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So we could kill the lions and the bears. We can take authority over them, put them in their place, see? I know we can't physically kill them because being their spirit, they can't. God's going to deal with them at the last. They'll be thrown into the lake of fire, right? And they'll be taken care of them. But anyway, and ravens fed a lonely and seemingly defeated prophet in the wilderness. So don't think that God is going to be in the wilderness too. He's going to be there too. He'll make the valleys and mountaintop. He'll turn things around out there in that wilderness. But listen, the wilderness is where you learn how quickly your own strength will fail you and will disappear, and how awesome our God can become when we allow him to supply and be that which you cannot supply and be of yourself. See? When are we going to learn that we can't supply what only God can supply? When are we going to quit depending on our own ability and depend on his ability? Isn't it about time? We cast out demons, you know, by the finger of God, not by our own ability, see? Remember that scripture? And I know I'm not going to have time probably to finish all this that I want to share tonight, but hey, I'll go as far as I can. But hey, praise God. I don't care how tough you think you are. human strength will eventually give out and fail you. I mean, that's it. We all have to come to the end of ourselves where we can find him. And here's how you can connect to a never-ending source of strength and power. What is that? Isaiah 40:31. Very clear. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. See, that's it. He's our strength. Wait, that word wait. The word is put their hope, their trust in, to look eagerly for the Lord. See, are we looking at him? Are we putting our trust in him? See, that's what our faith is for. For him to show up in the situation that we're in. To wait for him, to wait upon him to show up. Jesus is going to show up. Everybody say that out loud. Jesus is going to show up for me. Amen. Jesus is going to show up in my situation. Amen. To wait or look for with eager expectation. We must know our God is for us, and he is going to come through in our wilderness, in our attack place, where we've been attacked by the enemy, where it seems like we're not getting out of this thing. Hey, he is not forgotten us, and he will show himself strong on our behalf. He loves us. See, in his time, in his way, and in his place. Don't try to coerce him to act before, you know, because the Bible says there is a time for everything, time and a season for everything. He's coming. He is our deliverer. He's coming. Like the old song, our deliverer is coming. Yeah. Hey, but no, let's not try to coerce him, right? Try to make him come. He's going to come. We have faith. We know he's coming. See, God is good. So let God be God, and let God be God on his terms and his way, because his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. See? But we do have the mind of Christ, and we can tap into many of his thoughts, right? Because we do have the mind of Christ, so we need to use it. Amen? We need to use it. Hebrews 5:8-9. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Though he wrote a son, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Hallelujah. You get that? Amen. So, waiting with steadfast endurance is a great expression of faith. You know that? Yeah. Steadfast endurance. How we do that? We do it by the power of God. We don't do it by our own strength. Again, 1 Peter 2:21. What does that say? 1 Peter 2:21. It says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Well, oh my. You mean there's suffering? Yeah, suffering, persecution. There is that kind of suffering. So, with steadfast endurance. Amen. It's a steadfast expression of faith. It means for you and I to endure patiently in a confident hope that God will decisively act on our behalf in his way, his time, and his place. Faith means hope and wait up on God. Wait upon God, anticipating his goodness and his strength towards you, and to see his grace and his goodness in the land of the living, and him to act towards you out of grace, that you will see that action in your life, that you will not miss it. It will show up for you. You believe that. See, you and I don't have the physical resources and ability to face all the problems and the stuff in this life that Satan's going to bring across our path. We don't have it on our own strength. We don't have it on our own ability. You will quickly deplete yourself of your meager supply if you keep taking stuff on yourself. You can't keep taking it all on yourself. You can't take it all. You're not made to. God said, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. You don't carry those cares. You don't carry the heavy load. You can't carry it. It's impossible for you to carry it. It'll break you down. It'll break you up. It'll cause you to stumble, right? Because you cannot carry your cares. That's why he told you, cast all your cares on me, for I care for you. See, you'll quickly stumble if you keep trying to carry all this weight yourself. So you can't do it. So the results of waiting are, you, number one, renew your strength. Number two, you mount up with wings as eagles. Number three, you run and not be weary. Number four, you walk and you don't faint. And none of these are things that are possible outside of Jesus, not outside of God's grace. It's not just not possible. You can't do it without his grace. Oh, man, thank God for his grace today. Thank God for deliverance today. Thank God for the faith that he gave us, the author and finisher of our faith. If we didn't have that faith, we couldn't walk the walk. We couldn't talk the talk. We couldn't do it. No. It's all through faith that we do this. And faith is a supernatural power that we've been given through God. He dealt us that measure of faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. So let your faith rise up right now. You're hearing the word tonight. You're hearing the word tonight. Let it rise up. Let it rise up in you. But last scripture, almost the last one. I've tried to do two here. But Isaiah 41:17, when the poor and needy seek water and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the Lord of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places, open heaven over your life. You get that? And fountains in the midst of the valley. And I will make the wilderness a pool of water in the dry land, springs of water. Springs of water are going to come in our life. See, if you watch an eagle, they soar effortlessly by a power they didn't create. Eagles in the wilderness simply spread their God-given wings and allow the wind of God to do all the work. And that wind for us is God's sustaining grace and power by the Holy Spirit. It is a power to come under you, to lift you, to hold you, to sustain you, to bring you through. See? And none of us know what's over the next hill, do we? Or around the next bend, or around the next corner. Yeah? We know that we're living in perilous times, and strange things are happening. Strange things are happening. But you know what? They didn't catch God by surprise. You know, God's not sitting up on the throne scratching his head, wondering, wow, I wasn't expecting the devil to do that. No, he knew what the devil was going to do. He knows the devil better than the devil knows himself. He knows the devil because he created the devil, see? And so, hey, but we don't know. But we might, you know, ascend up to the mountain of the house of the Lord or descend into a dark valley or wilderness of attack by the enemy in spiritual warfare. But we need to learn to let go of our doing and let it become God's doing, all right? Amen? God will do through us. Isaiah 41, verse 28, for I beheld, and there was no man, even among them, and there was no counselor. And when I asked of them, could answer a word. Oh, they're all vanity. Their works are nothing. They're molten images of wind and confusion. The devil just wind and confusion. All that he's doing today is just wind and confusion. And yet we're being moved by that. We're living in fear of that wind and confusion. Isn't it time you start letting God raise you up? Isn't it time that you learn to freshly trust your life to him every day? Freshly. Tomorrow is another day, and he will take care of it too. Well, why are you worrying about tomorrow anyway? You know, sufficient unto today is the trouble thereof. See, it's the attacks of the day. You have to resist the devil today. You have to deal with today. What are you worrying about tomorrow for? Oh, but things are falling apart. The world's coming down. Yeah, but Jesus already, you know, he's got tomorrow in his hands. He's got you in his hands tomorrow, and he has you in his hands today. You worry and fearful about tomorrow? You think, you know, he doesn't know tomorrow? You know? Why are you fearful about it? You think it will catch him by surprise? God caught by surprise? Oh, no, I didn't see that coming. You think God ever says that? I don't think that's in his vocabulary. No way. See? If you're thinking that way, you just don't know God, right, the way you should. He's got you, and he's going to bring you through all of this. Amen. Today, tomorrow, and forever, you are in the hand of the Lord. You've been accepted in the beloved. You're not going to be just dumped. He's not going to dump you because you failed. You made a mistake. You sinned. Everybody sins. If we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But see, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from all sin, too. If you read 1 John chapter 1, the blood is active. The blood is cleansing. And because we're born again, we've been regenerated, we're a new creation, the blood is taking care of our sin. Yeah, we sometimes need to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. See, that which we know and that which we don't know, he cleanses us from all of it. All of it. All the unrighteousness. Taken care of in him, see. Hey, we just walk in Christ. Amen. We're going to make it. We're going to keep getting delivered, keep getting rid of the the things that cling to our flesh, and our flesh dwelleth no good thing. We keep getting delivered. We keep growing in grace and keep walking by faith. We're going to make it to the end. We're going to finish the course. We're running a race that's set before us. Amen. And it's not a sprint. I mean, it's a long race, right? It's a marathon. So we need to pace ourselves in God and trust in Him. He's going to provide for us. He's going to bring those living waters when we need them. He's going to bring that waters of refreshing. He's going to create the waters and springs in the dry places. And He's going to bring it forth for us. He's not going to leave you out there all alone and forget about you. And that's what some of you think sometimes. You think He's forgotten about you. He hasn't forgotten about you. He's not going to forget about you. He knows you. Amen. There's sometimes demons involved that try to hinder the things of God. And that's why we do deliverance. We're going to get rid of those things that are hindering the things that God wants to do in our lives. They try to block. And the demons like to camp around our spirit to block the rivers of living water that are flowing out of our spirit, that we're going to cast those demons out. We're not going to let them do what they think they can do. They can't prevail, but we have the greater authority. The greater one lives in us. Remember, greater is He that lives in us and He that's in the world, that He's attacking us from the world. There's those spirits that are attacking us from the world. Amen. The greater one lives in our spirit. See, we got more than enough there, more than enough to live the abundant life. He said, I'm come that you might have life. I have it more abundantly. So, hey, it's there. It's just whether you're drawing on the resource or not. It's there for you. That abundant life is available. And look, we just read that He wants to open the heavens above you. He wants to pour out, remember, these things upon your life. So, amen. Father, thank you for the word this evening. Thank you for deliverance here in a moment. Thank you for delivering us today. Thank you for showing us what needs to go, Father. Thank you for, Lord, just bringing that direction in our lives. Some people just don't know which direction to go, Father. I thank you for leading us by your Spirit. Sometimes we think we miss God, but we really got you right. And the devil just beating us up because he wants us to think we miss God when we really heard God. Sometimes we do miss God, and we need to just say, God, forgive me. I miss God, and get up and keep on walking on because, you know, there's still another chance in God. There's chance number one. Chance number two, and on, God keeps giving you another chance because He's merciful. He loves you. You're chosen. So, Father, we thank you for that, and we thank you, Lord, for every listener to the program. Bless them, minister to them, strengthen them spiritually, and cause them to grow daily in grace. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, thank the Lord, and we'll be right back and do some deliverance for a while. The rest of the program would cast out some demons. Amen. Amen. Are you a conqueror tonight? I'm a conqueror. Do you believe tonight? I believe. Let's just confess that. I'm a conqueror and I believe. I'm a conqueror and I believe. Amen. Okay, we pray for, someone said pray for their son. I just see. Pray for a son David has court charges. Father, we pray for son David. We rebuke these charges against him. We pray that the son will serve God, will focus on Jesus, will get his mind corrected. The course of his life will be corrected, Father, that he will seek you and find you and get hungry for you, Father. And we pray that because of all that, you'll just have favor on him, Father, and bless him because, you know, you want to because He wants you, Father, and we just thank you that you show yourself strong on his behalf, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah for doing that, Father. Hallelujah for ministering to him. And, Lord, we pray that, Lord, you'll just have your way in his life, Father, and minister to him for your glory and that you'd be glorified in this man's life, Father, in Jesus' name, and protect him from evil. Amen. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. We believe. We'll be right back.
the King.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, so are you ready to do some deliverance here now? I'm ready to do that. If you're ready, we're going to do some deliverance for a while. Amen. Some people, you know, just have difficulty sometimes with spirits of tiredness and sleepiness, so we're going to cast those out tonight. Tiredness. Are you tired all the time? Some people are. A spirit of tiredness. Keep you feeling tired all the time. So we just command that spirit of tiredness to come out. Come out right now. All that spirit of tiredness, you go. We apply the blood of Jesus against you right now. And we command you come up on the surface and come out right now. All that spirit of tiredness. Come out of there. Go, 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 go. Come out, tiredness. Come out all the way out. All that tiredness. Go. Come out. 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 Come all the way out. Spirit of tiredness. We break the power of that spirit of tiredness and command you to go. That sleepiness. Falling asleep. Falling asleep when you read the Bible. Try to get you to fall asleep when try to study the word and focus on God's word and you fall asleep all the time. You come out of there right now. Come out of there all the way out. All that falling asleep when you try studying God's word, focus on Jesus and the things of God. I bind you. Come out all the way out. All the way out. Up out of there. Loose them and let them go. Loose them and let them go. We bind you. Come out. 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 Spirit of tiredness. Spirit of fatigue. Come out. Spirit of sleepiness. Come out. 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 Come out in Jesus' name. Come on all the way out. All the way out. All the way out. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Spirit of negativism, you come out tonight. We break the curse of negativism. Spirit of always just the negative things are happening and you think negatively. We bind that spirit of negativism. Come out in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out. Come out, 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 come out. Negativism, I bind you. Come all the way out. All the way out. Up and out. That spirit of negativism. Come on. All that negativism. We bind you. We break your hold. We break your control over people right now. Come out. Come out, negativism. Come on. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Yeah, we live in a negative world, but we don't have to pick up the spirit of the world. Then we don't have to pick up that negative spirit. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. All the way up out of there. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out. Up and out of there. Move, 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 move. Keep moving. Keep moving. Up out of there. Come out. Come out. Come all the way out. All the way up out of there. Loose them and let them go. All that negativism. All the way out. All that getting in agreement with the world, with your mouth. Saying things that the world is saying. No, no, we need to say the things of the kingdom of God. We don't talk like the world. We don't act like the world. But we're not of the world. They recognize we're of another kingdom, the kingdom of light. They're of the kingdom of darkness. The world is of the kingdom of darkness. We're of the kingdom of light. So that worldly spirit that tries to get a hold on you, make you act just like the world, that worldliness, come out, 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 come out. Come out, that worldliness that binds you. Come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, all the way out. Up and out in the name of Jesus, right now, that worldliness spirit, come out. That worldliness, come on, in Jesus' name, all the way out. The Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Amen. Because, hey, if you have that love, love for the world, it's going to pass away, and you're going to be without. Right? But if you love the kingdom of God, man, it's going to manifest forever. Wow. Praise God for that. Amen. There's panic attack. You come out. Spirit of panic. Panic attack. Come out. I bind you. All that panic. Panicking about the times and the seasons. Panicking and walking in fear. Come out. All those panic attacks. Come out. 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 Come Christians have panic attacks? Yes. Many Christians I've cast that spirit out of. So, yeah, they have it. They can have just about whatever they want. Whatever they pick up in life, they can have it. Demons will accommodate them. Just because you're a Christian don't mean you can't have demons. They don't get in your spirit, but they get in your soul, which is the mind, will, and emotion. And they're certainly in there, in the flesh as well. So come out of there, all the way out. All the way out. Go, 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 go. Panic attack. Come out. Fear of panic. Panicking. Come out. 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 Worrying. Worrying about your family members. Worrying about the future. Come out. Fear of the future. Fear about your family. Come out. 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 In Jesus' name. Come out. All the way out. All the way out. Go in the name of Jesus right now. Loose them and let them go. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All the way out. Go. All those spirits. Worldliness. You have to go. All that worldliness. Come out. Come on. All that panic. Come out. All that fearfulness. Go. Fearfulness. Come out. Right now. Loose them and let them go. All the way out. All the way out. Come on. All that worldliness and all that fearfulness and all that panic attack. Go. Go, 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 all the way out, all the way out. Yeah, Christians cannot be demon-possessed, but they sure can be under the influence of demons in their soul and have demons in their soul, but they can't be possessed. The lost people can be totally possessed because they're not saved. Their spirit is in darkness, therefore the demons can dwell in their spirit. The Christians in light, that no demon can get in their spirit. You know that, right? So that's the way it is. So demons can be in Christians, but they're just not in their spirit. So they're not totally possessed. A Christian cannot be totally possessed. They can simply be under the influence of demons in their, which is the mind, will, and emotion. Okay, so keep coming out of there. Spirits of mental disorders, come out. Spirits of mental disorder. We break a curse of mental disorders over you. Come out right now. All the way out. All the way out. Mental disorder. Come out. All those mental disorders. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Mental disorders. We break the curses of mental disorders over you and command those spirits of mental disorders. Mental illness. Come out. All the way out. Come 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 out, anxiety, you come out. Spirit of anxiety, come out, come out, come out, come out, in Jesus' name. Come out, out, out. Take a couple of deep calls. Let's get them moving. Come on. Let them go. All the way out. Come out. Anxiety, come out. All that anxiety, I bind you. We break your hold. Come out. Come out. Let them go. All the way out. All that anxiety spirit, you have to go all the way up out of there. In Jesus' name. All those anxiety spirits, we rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Come out. 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 Come out of there. All the way out. All the way out. Jesus' name. All the way. Spirits of fear of losing it all. Come out. Be fear you're going to lose it all. Come out. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Fear you're going to lose everything. Come out. Come out, come out, come out. Nervousness, worry, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. All the way out. Fear of confusion, come out. Fear of unworthiness, come out. Jesus' name, come out. Come out, there's that unworthiness, that fear of misunderstanding, where you misunderstand people, you misunderstand things, you misunderstand spiritual things. All that fear of misunderstanding, come out, 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 come out. All the way out. Go. In Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. Spirit of misunderstanding. You have to go right now. Move in the name of Jesus. Spirit of misunderstanding. Come on. Go. 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 Yeah. I know people have misunderstood me. Things I've said, they've misunderstood. You know, because demons help them misunderstand things. Yeah, listen, if they can do anything, the demons like to turn you against a teacher, a pastor, someone that's doing deliverance. And so, yeah, they try to make people have misunderstanding, get hurt feelings, get bitter, get unforgiving, get resentment, yeah, toward other Christians, towards Christian preachers and leaders. And toward one another as Christians. So try to get in between relationships and try to mess it up. See, we bind these demons of misunderstanding. We rebuke them in the name of Jesus. Command them to go right now. Loose the people. Let them go. Come out. 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 All that misunderstanding, all that unforgiveness, bitterness, come out. In Jesus' name. All the way out. Ringing in the ears. Come out. They're ringing in the ears. I rebuke you. Come out right now. Having ringing in the ears or music playing in the ears. A number of people said they have music playing in their ears all the time. We rebuke that spirit. Come out right now. And the ringing in the ears. Come out. Come out. Come out of the ears. We cover the ears with the blood of Jesus right now. Come out of the ears. Come out all the way up. All the way up out of the ears. In Jesus' name. Go. 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 Ringing in the ears. Come out. Come out. From all the way out. The blood of Jesus is against you right now. You have to go. You have to loosen them. Let them go. Loose their ears. Come out of there. All that ringing in the ears. Go. Go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go. 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 Come on. All the way out. Ringing in the ears. Go. Go. That spirit of fear of what people think about you. Come out. That spirit of fear of what people thinking of you. Come out, all the way out, that fear. Always worried about what they're thinking about you. Come out, come out. Fear what people think. Come out, come out, come out, come out. Come out, come on, all the way out. All the way out, Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. Come out, come out, come out. Fear of what people think. Come out, come out. Fear of failure and fear of failure. Feel like you failed. Come out. You're a failure now. Come out. All that fear of failure, fear of failure. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name, all the way out. All the way out. Come out. Failure spirit. Come out. 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 Pressure cooker. Feel like you're ready to explode. Come out. That pressure cooker spirit. Come out. Feel like you're ready to blow up. Come out. All the way out. All that pressure cooker. You feel like you got to blow off steam all the time. You're just ready to blow. Anytime, explode, come out, pressure cooker, come out, pressure cooker. Feel like you're going to explode, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. That rage and anger, come out, 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 come out. In Jesus' name, that spirit of disappointment, that feel like you're just disappointed in life and the way things are turning out, not the way you wanted. You feel disappointed. We break that curse of disappointment. You come out right now, spirit of disappointment. I bind you. You loose people. Let them go. Come out. Disappointment. Take a few coughs. Get moving. All the way out. All that disappointment. Go. In Jesus' name. Keep coming out. Disappointment. We rebuke the spirit of disappointment. You're a liar. You're a thief. You're a robber. When we just reject you in Jesus' name. Come out. Disappointment. Come out. Disappointment. All the way out. All that disappointment. Yeah, people will let you down. You could be disappointed. Yeah, but don't say it because the demon will come. Amen. You stay in that disappointment, the spirit will rise up there and come in. And, yeah, you will be disappointed then. It will eat on you. Yeah, people do let you down in life, right? Your mate can let you down. Your family can let you down. Church people can let you down. Ministries can let you down. Hey, they don't always do what you want them to do. They don't always do what you expect them to do. Amen. But, hey, you can't get all disappointed. Let that spirit come in. So your family members don't do what you think they should do. Well, don't we wish they'd all serve God right now? Of course we do. Well, we pray for them. In Jesus' name, they will serve God. But how many know sometimes it may take a season before they come around? God works on them, and he brings them to a place of repentance. But it sometimes takes some time. Because they're rebellious or they have their own ideas of things. But thank you, Jesus, for saving our wandering family members. Thank you, Jesus, for getting them right with you. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. All the way out. The spirit of death. If there's a spirit of death on you, we command that death to come out right now. Spirit of death, you come out of people right now. In the name of Jesus, right now, loose them and let them go. Spirit of death. We rebuke the spirit of death. Trying to bring sickness on you, COVID on you. We rebuke the COVID demon right now. You go to in Jesus' name. That COVID demon, that sickness spirit, that death spirit, come out. 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 All the way up, out of there in the name of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You have to keep moving all the way out, up and out of there in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to go all the way out. All that COVID demon, come out in Jesus' name, all that death, in Jesus' name, fear of flying, come out, Jesus' name, go, fear of flying, fear of claustrophobia, fear of being in closed places, come out, claustrophobia, you come out right now, claustrophobia, fear of small places, come out, you get claustrophobic when you get put in a small room, come out, that fear of claustrophobia, come out, fear of superstitious over black cats and different things that happen, come out, all the way out, that superstition. Oh, this might happen to me if I do this. Yeah, come out, all the way out. All that superstitious spirit, come out. Superstition, I bind you, come out. Come all the way out. All that superstition, come out, all the way out. In Jesus' name, go, superstition, come out. The blood of Jesus is against you. I apply the blood of Jesus right now. Go. Superstition. Come out. That superstitious spirit. Go. Come out. It's amazing how superstitious still some Christians are about things. I have run into a number of them that are. And we don't need to be superstitious. We need to be discerning of spirits, but nobody needs to be superstitious and giving place to demons that way, like black cat thing and all those other things that people are superstitious about. Yeah. Like some people say, if there were a nail on the road, I'd run over it. See, you're just giving place to there being a nail, and you running over and having a lot of flat tires. So you're giving place to the devil one way or another. He's going to get you for that statement. Don't be saying that stuff. You're just opening the door. Now come out of there. All that superstition, go. Come out. Come out of there. All the way out. I bind you. I bind that legalism spirit. You come out. Legalism. Come out. Come out. Law keeping. Legalism. Come out. Come out right now. Go. In the name of Jesus right now. Go. All the way out. Come 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 out, all the way out. That fear of death, you come out. We don't have to be afraid of death. Jesus was afraid of death. He didn't want to do it, but he said, not my will be done, but yours. So we don't have to fear death, right? Because the Bible says, precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints. So we don't have to fear. His spirit of the Lord be right there to meet us and be with us. So you come out of there. All that fear of death. Come out. Yeah, they may threaten death many times like they did the Christians who put up that sign in Texas about abortion. They took it right down when they threatened the death on them. They threatened to kill them and down went the sign. I mean, listen, if we're going to cave that easily on things, then listen, how's the gospel ever going to get out to this generation? Because a lot of people are threatening Christians now. There's a lot of persecution going on, and it's going to increase before the day's over. I mean, listen, before this is all over. It's going to increase more. So you got to be ready for that. You got to not fear death. Come out. Fear is the fear of death. We're afraid we're going to lose our physical lives. Come out of there all the way out. All that fear of death. Come out. 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 In Jesus' name. Come out of there all the way out. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke that death, fear of death spirit. Come out. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name all the way out, all the way up out of there in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask you to seal this deliverance that people have received tonight to them. We thank you that they'll be able to keep what they got and walk it out and see a difference in their life as a result of deliverance, Father. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. OasisCommunityChurch.com. OasisCommunityChurch.com is a website. If you'd like to go there. And also, if you'd like to write us, P.O. Box 50162, that's P.O. Box 50162, Billings, Montana, 59105. That's 59105, Billings, Montana. God bless you. Thank you for listening tonight. We certainly appreciate you. and love you and thank you for being here. And let's just continue praising Jesus. Amen. Because he's God before us. Who could be against us? We've got to remember the truth. Amen. And the truth is awesome, isn't it? All right. Good night. Again, God bless.